So you ever look at a treadmill? They got a bunch of different compartments. I always wonder, who's using all this storage? This is the guy they built the treadmill for. This guy's emptying his life into these little bins. The change, the iPhone, the wallet, the keys. He brought an iPad. He brought a cinema to the gym. Then he put his little bitch buds in, man. Then he, I've never seen this before. He had like a water backpack. Then he dropped it down. Then he pulled this one. He turned towards me. Now he starts side skipping. Oh my God. I cannot run on a treadmill with another grown man looking right at me, doing side skips.
Hey there. As I smash food into my face. It's beautiful outside. Go outside. Don't go to the gym anymore. It's Eagle and Vice, episode 99.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
This is Mike. This is Eagle and Vice. This is episode 99. Hey, it is getting nice out, isn't it? Beautiful, beautiful. The snow is melting, which is sad because I can't snowboard anymore, but it's summertime. And with summertime comes outside time. Right? Anyway, I'm just happy that I was at the gym the other day. Winter, that's what I do. I go to the gym. I hate lifting weights because I hate the strain of it. Yeah, it's just not for me. But you do it, right? Because it's good for you. And it, as you know, I run. I'm a runner. Well, I try to be a runner. And during the winter, I don't run because it's cold. Plus, I injured myself last year. So I go to the gym. I have a corporate membership, so I don't pay a ton. But I hate the gym because I can't stand the people at the gym. Gym people. The gym culture. I'm forced to be there. I don't want to be there. I'm forced to be there. And I feel guilty when I'm not there. One of the highlights for the gym, you know, other than the you know, like I said, I don't like lifting weights, but I do. I'll go on the treadmill, which is awful. Or I'll go on the elliptical, which is just as awful because you're just the rat in the, or the mouse in the wheel, as they say. But I like going to the gym for the experience of just like doing the workout and then, okay, I'm done. And then you go sit in the sauna, which is always kind of a relaxing thing. And it's nice, you know? But the sauna people ruin my experience. It's just awful. Like, I'm so happy it's summer because I don't have to go back there because I'm going to break down the sauna people that I've experienced in the last like 5 months. There's this one dude at the gym who is covered head to toe, like literally his face is blue with tattoos. And I got nothing against tattoos. I have tattoos. And whatever you got going on, why your face is blue with tattoos, I don't know. That's fine. I don't care. I don't judge. You are what you are. But He's this kind of muscle dude. I'm sitting in the sauna. I'm minding my own business. And this guy comes in and he's in. He must not. He's one of those gym guys where if I'll go randomly. Say I'll just pick like. I haven't been to the gym in 3 days. But I'll go on Wednesday at like 2:15 in the afternoon. That motherfucker's there. It's like he's just the gym. He like lives at the gym. Like literally, I think. But anyway, he's in the sauna. And I'm sitting there, and the sauna is supposed to be like an enjoyable place, and it's a public gym, you know what I mean? Everyone pays their dues. Everyone should have somewhat of the same experience, but these gym folk, you know, they treat the place like it's their, like their personal, anyway. So this guy, he just, like, I see him out in the gym, and he doesn't, you know, he seems like a normal dude. He kind of lifts weights, but when he gets in the sauna, all of a sudden, he starts breathing like a horse. He's, like, flexing. And you hear him, like, it's just like, what are you doing, man? And then he'll get up. Very distracting, by the way, when you're trying to relax. He gets up, and he swings the door open of the sauna. Just swings it open. And it takes forever to close because it's on that little hydraulic plunger dealy. And all the cold air comes in. So I'm like, oh, okay, at least he's gone. And then like 2 minutes later, he comes in soaking ass wet. And he sits on the bench again. He starts doing flexing and moving his shoulders and breathing like a horse. Like, and it goes on and on. Like, it's like, hey, horse boy, there's other people here that are trying to friggin' relax. So I got to the point where I just have to get up and leave. So I do, because I'm just sitting in the corner. Minding my business. There's this other dude that sits in the sauna. He's this older guy. He's a little skinny little old dude, which is fine. No, I won't say old. I don't want to give you the impression that he's like an elderly man. He's probably in like in his 50s. But he sits there and he just sweats like a fucking madman. But the fucking grossest thing is he like rubs, like he'll like rub his skin and it sounds all sloshy. As he's like rubbing, and then he'll take his hand that is just drenched in his own sweat and he'll fling it on the rocks of the sauna, like, and it goes, and I'm out. I hate you. Thanks. Like, who does that? Anyway, there's this other dude. I'm at the sauna, and he comes in and he immediately starts, like, because the sauna at my gym's pretty big, like, it's got a lot of floor space. He immediately. Doesn't matter who's sitting there. If we're just sitting there minding our business, he stands in the middle of the floor and starts doing, like, karate moves. And it's like, is this happening? So I get up, and I leave. Day ruined. Anyway, there's this one dude. This takes the cake for me. This guy comes into the sauna. And he literally takes all his sweaty gym clothes. I'm just, again, sitting there quietly minding my own business in as much tranquility as I can be. This guy comes in, throws the door open, and he takes his sweaty gym clothes and he lays them over like the wooden rail around the rocks, you know? Like underwear, like crotch open, like crotch up. And it's like, so you're laying your dirty crotch fucking gym underwear on the fucking sauna thing. What do you think that wetness does? Like, I'm not a scientist, but as it dries, it turns to like vapor and then it emits into the atmosphere. And then I breathe in your sweaty fucking ass crotch. It's like, what? And again, I say. Day ruined. Thanks. Just endless. It's endless. I could go on, but you get the picture. So long, Jim. See you next year. That's why I never played sports, like team sports, because I can't stand other people's habits. I go running and I go snowboarding. It's a solo solitude. Peaceful, isolated thing. If the gym was empty, I would love the gym. I would love it. But you can't always get what you want. Anyway, thanks for letting me go on about that. I needed to vent. I just got back from the gym and it was awful. But that's the last one until like September or maybe a rainy day. Who knows? On the show today, I have a local singer-songwriter named Nick Cooper. Nick is new to the Ottawa area, and he's trying to connect and network with some other musicians and other artists in town. I guess he's like the rest of us. He's a starving artist, struggling artist, just trying to find his footing and make a name, you know, for himself or just play tunes because, you know, we all have it inside us and that's what we do. I think what better than Ego and Vice, what better platform than Ego and Vice? That's what it's here for, is to introduce new artists from the Ottawa area and try to give them a voice where maybe they, you know, didn't have one. Which he does, but you know what I mean. So we had a good conversation, and I'm glad I could help him out. And if you know of, I don't know, any other information you can give him, reach out. And his contact information will be attached to the podcast. Anyway, I'm going to play one of Nick's songs, and we're going to come back with a conversation with Nick Cooper. This is Ego and Vice, episode 99.
Tell me, do you feel the rhythm beating in your heart? It's been there from the start. Can't you see you're the beginning, the middle and the end? Time is just a friend. Is it you? Is it you I'm talking to? Is it you I'm looking through? If you're lost in search of meaning, take the time to close your eyes. What you'll see is no surprise.
What's going on, man?
Not too much, man. How about you, Mike?
Oh, you know, sitting around on a Friday holiday. Is it a holiday today? It is a holiday, eh?
Yeah, I'm off. I hope it's a holiday. I didn't go into work or anything.
No one's calling, right? No one, my phone has
to burn out the hard way.
I have this routine in the mornings where I wake up and I go get coffee. Coffee is usually the thing that kind of drives me out of bed. And then I call it coffee and a rip, where it's like I get in the car, I grab a coffee, and then I just drive aimlessly and listen to like music or podcasts, and until my coffee's done, then I come home.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah, and I went today. I went into Quebec because everything's closed because it's Good Friday in Ontario. But luckily, we live really close to Quebec, and all the stores are open. So I went up to the Provigo, and I bought some food and stuff like that, and went grocery shopping. Then I came home. How has your Friday been so far?
Well, you know, my work was canceled yesterday. The power outages and everything. Which, I mean, you're living in Ottawa. I'm living in Gatineau on the other side of the river.
Though, oh, there so. You go.
I had to get out. My my wife and my daughter and I. Luckily, we've got some friends who, good family friends. We've got a cottage here on the Ontario side, a couple hours out, and just to wait out, the storm, so to speak. So, yeah, I didn't have anything to do yesterday. We just sort of headed out here, and then and now we're here. So it's going to be a beautiful, nice long weekend up north.
Yeah, for sure. Cottage living, that was always a goal when I was younger, and it just hasn't materialized yet. But, there's always, the day is young. You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That ice storm, I guess that was like baby ice storm. It was shitty for one day, and the next day, like, it was like springtime again. Cold, but spring. Like, all the ice was gone. Big giant branch fell in my driveway. Boom, like inches from my car. That was nice. But no damage, no harm done. And I think that was the last big winter push, so I'm good to go. And bring on spring, and bring on, that spring feeling in the air where it's just like everything just starts getting, like you wake up and you're like, wow, it's a brand new day. And it's just like it's sunny out and it's just that winter blues are over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I couldn't agree more. I've always loved fall. I think it's my favorite, but for some reason I'm leaning a little bit more towards spring every year, just because, winter's just so, it can be so long and dreadful sometimes, and just to be on the other end of it. Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, I can't wait for the sun to be, the days are getting longer and everything. Mm-hmm. Get up in the morning. I was listening to a podcast that you were having with the front. Unfortunately, I don't remember his name exactly. I know his band was Loud Love. And I really, really enjoyed that episode there.
Hey, sorry for the quick timeout. The episode that Nick was referring to was episode 95 with my bud, Peter McKenzie Hammond. Good old Pete Hammond. If you haven't listened to that episode, I highly recommend you go back and do it. Pete's an awesome guy, one of a kind, hell of a story. Anyway, back to the episode. Nick Cooper.
And I know you guys were talking a bit about like morning routines and stuff, and he was talking about how he's writing in the mornings and everything. Mm-hmm. And I might not be writing very much in the mornings, but I try to get up around the same time, 5 o'clock, and do the things that I need to do, which changes every day. But yeah, the difference between doing that in the winter and doing it now is the time has changed, and the days are, like I said, the days are getting longer. The mornings are just glorious. I don't know why I used to be such a night owl. Younger, I found maybe at a certain point creatively, or whatever you want to, however you want to call it, you enter this, or I used to anyway, I used to enter this mental space where I had less maybe inhibitions or something about the nighttime just allowed me to draw out whatever I was working on, whether it was a band practice or just hanging out or going out, whatever it is. But especially being alone and trying to write a song or something. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That was, prime time. But now it seems, again, it's weird. Every year it just gets a little bit, it's like opposite day, it flips around somehow.
I think the sun has a lot to do with it. It's the vitamin D. Mm-hmm. Right, I don't know. And coming out of winter, it's just, yeah, it's a slog, right? It's cold and it's shitty, and then all of a sudden it's like this brand new bright day. And I understand the night owl stuff too, because I used to drink a lot. I don't drink anymore. I quit drinking like a year and a half ago, and I was always a morning person, but now I don't like the night. I like the daytime. But yeah. I never really drew inspiration from the night. I was always morning, like you said. So you're a musician.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And are you're based out of Ottawa? Have you always been in this area?
No, it's a recent thing, and it's been an adventure. It's been a wild ride, and I never expected to end up in the Ottawa area originally. I'm from Niagara. I was born and raised, and I went to school and everything in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Mm-hmm. And I went to university at the Brock University, in St. Catharines, and mm-hmm. So I was really based out of there for a long time, but so I've only really been in Ottawa for, it's been less than a year now. It's very, very new. I think we moved at the end of August, just in time for the fall.
Okay.
So, yeah, yeah.
For those who are unaware about the Niagara region, Canada is a pretty big place. Did you want to kind of break down where exactly that is and give us a little bit of a geography lesson, I guess, if you would, sir?
Right. So Toronto's just north of the west end of Lake Ontario.
Okay.
And if you just follow the end of Lake Ontario all the way around to the south side, you drive sort of like a C around it.
Okay.
And it's just south of the lake. So yeah, it's much smaller than Toronto, definitely. But I really love the scene there. There's a lot going on. Wonderful, wonderful stuff going on there.
In Niagara. Okay.
In Niagara, yeah. Obviously Toronto too, but you know.
All right. When did you start playing music? Has it always kind of been in you, or are you just something you picked up later, or how'd it go?
That's a good question. I know some people, it's miraculous. They just sort of pick it up along the way and just hit the ground running. But my parents are both musicians. They met in a recording studio, actually.
Oh, cool.
Sometime in the early 90s, I think. And so I've always been a musician. It's always been around. My sister too. And somehow I always hit it off with musicians, you know. If I'm talking to somebody, maybe I'm new at a job or something, and I find out that they're a musician, somehow it just clicks mm-hmm. in a way that it doesn't with other people, just because they somehow understand what comes with being a musician,
I think it definitely starts from when you're younger too. And as you said, both mm-hmm. your parents were musicians. That's just like you're basically brought into the world with music in your ears, right? It's in the house,
yeah.
It's around you and stuff. And I think that early influence is what kind of drives you. And it's just like, I don't know, what I remember music when I was a kid, and it was all like the Eagles. And it was Patti LaBelle, and it was like 70s disco and stuff. I remember that stuff in my house, and I don't know if that has influenced me anywhere in my life, but it was always there, right? And I have like uncles that are musicians, and my grandpa was like a singer and stuff. I wonder if music, what's your take on that? Do you think music is genetic?
Ooh, I think... I think there's got to be a component of it, because where do prodigies come from? You know, maybe like, for example, Mozart's father was a violinist, a really mm-hmm. famous violinist in his day. Like, it doesn't just oftentimes fall out of the sky. Sometimes it does. And obviously there's a lot of hard work that comes into it. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a genetic component to almost anything in life. But also with anything, it takes a lot to draw it out. And I feel like the environment, if you've got, like you said, uncles or parents, aunts, you know, family, friends who are just, it's always around, whether it's being played or it's, you know, going through the sound system all day long, you're just sort of steeping in those influences. You can't help but sort of like learning a language, you know, like if you're growing up in a household where one parent speaks one language and the other one speaks another, you can't help pick it up, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. So I was like predisposed, to play a musical instrument. Maybe I didn't start playing guitar till I was 15, I think. Like, I didn't even I said, there was always music in my life, but I never thought I would like eventually down the road kind of devote like such a large chunk of my life to it, right?
And yeah, not even that, but just to have that passion. It's like my mistress, as they say, you know what I mean? Like what I'm most passionate about is music. It's like the soundtrack of everything is the soundtrack of my life, and writing music and listening to music, it drives everything I do. So that's crazy. Yeah, I know. It's just, it's, I always find it interesting how people kind of just find out or just start or start playing guitar. Do you play guitar, or are you like a multi-instrumentalist or?
Yeah, I play a few different instruments. My first, I first started learning the drums when I was probably about four.
I had
a little like children's kit, you know? Yeah. And it, you know, my folks told me later that I just sort of took to it quickly. They noticed that I would sit down behind the little kit on my own and try to figure stuff out. And, so, you know, maybe a year later for Christmas, I got an actual kit, a little kit for the time being. And I still have it somewhere. I don't know where it is really. And I've used it for gigs still. But yeah, that's how I started out. So I, you know, got a foundation rhythm and feel and just honestly, there's nothing better than sitting down behind the kit. There really is. It's like the best time. I don't need to play with anybody else. Mm-hmm. In fact, sometimes it's more freeing not to, just to sit down behind the kit and just, you know, hit things and make music, and it's so satisfying.
When I was a kid, the first like little band thing I was in was it wasn't actually a band. It's my friend, I'm from Thunder Bay, his name is Tony, and he bought a drum kit, just like half a drum kit, like it was missing parts and shit, right? But we didn't know, we were young, and there's probably about maybe about 13 or 14 years old, I think. And he's like, I want to start a band. And my other friend, Andrew, his brothers played guitar. So he brought a guitar over and we plugged it into Tony's parents, home stereo. And we used the speakers from that for the guitar, blew the shit out of it. Like just destroyed the stereo. And they're like, Mike, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to play the drums. And Tony's like, no, I'm playing the drums, they're my drums. And we had like a big fight, so I ended up being a singer. And that was the start of it all. They said, well, just sing. And I couldn't sing.
Wow.
But ever since then, I was kind of like fascinated with drums. And I've been, and I told you, like right when I was about 15, I picked up my first guitar and actually, you know, hit the one note, dung, dung, dung. And I just kind of self-taught from there. But I've played drums as long as I've played guitar. And but I've never done it. I've never played drums in a band. I've never whatever. I had like a digital kit. I sold it. I don't know why I sold it. There's always reasons to sell something. And I wish I didn't. And I was actually looking at buying like a new one. There's this Roland that I'm looking at Dave's Drum Shop. Shout out to Dave's, good local music store. But yeah, I get it. In Niagara, did you play a lot of shows? Were you like, you said you were in bands. Did you do like solo stuff? Were you in band stuff?
The solo stuff came way later. I was sort of sitting on my hands about it for a long time and humming and hawing about what I was going to do with the stuff I was writing all the way along. It's very recent, within the last year, that I decided to really go for it. But before that, yeah, I played quite a bit. Let's see. I used to have a duo. We'd play a lot in the circuit, restaurants and things like that. I was in this when I was in university. Some friends of mine from the program, we all formed. It was a 7-piece funk band with horns, and it was a blast. We were gigging quite a bit at a certain point when I was in university there, and I was in another like sort of indie band, sort of surfy too. It was a lot of fun. I was a lead guitar player in that. And you know, I can sort of wind the clock back a bit too. I guess my first real band, I was in grade 8. I was the youngest and I was definitely the weakest link, but I learned a lot playing with those guys. And it was a lot of fun for what it was. And it was the beginning for me of realizing that, okay, I want this band thing to just always be happening. And for probably at least the next decade, there wasn't a moment where I was not in a band.
I always appreciate a good origin story, especially when it comes to like first bands. Way back then, like when you first started out, what were you into? Like, what did you play?
We started with covers and classic rock, Beatles and AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, you know, the big ones. But at the time, that was like, you know, that was a big deal. These were the gods that we listened to, and we're trying our best to put it together. And of course, we're underage. The oldest guy in the band was probably about 15 or 14, and I was maybe 12 or 13 at the time. And we're putting an hour set together, or, you know, we probably amassed about 2 hours worth of music by the end. So yeah, it's classic rock. CCR too, I'm remembering now. It's been a long time. You know what's funny? You ever get this where you totally forget about playing this one song, and then it just comes on, and suddenly you remember where your hands are on the neck. You're going, I've played this.
That's muscle memory. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing, like, over the years, like, however long you've been playing, and it's just like, and when you write songs, people always say that to me, because I'll have, like, I've written hundreds of songs, and say you're in an active band, and you have 50 songs, and it's like, how do you remember that? I don't know, I just do. It's just there.
Yep.
So, yeah, I like the stories of up and coming, and we all start kind of just cutting our teeth, you know, in the cover bands, or just some shitty punk bands, or whatever, but... So you moved to Ottawa, and I'm gonna kind of cruise control over like your that part of it, because you're in Ottawa now. You have some solo stuff, which I was checking out on Spotify. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So, let's see. I released so far. There have been 6 tracks that have been released, and the album that was recorded, the full length album, it's 9 tracks, which is, you know, was pretty well whittled down. I had an honest conversation with myself and said, okay, how many songs do you really feel ready to record? And for this project, I wanted to record all of, if not as many tracks on the record as possible. So I recorded the vast majority of the instruments that you're hearing. There are a couple tracks that are out where I think I played all of them. And then my best friend Fergus Gundy, shout out to Sound Chef Productions. He's a wonderful producer and a longtime friend of mine, best man at my wedding. He's just incredible, an incredibly talented musician. And so I recorded this with him over the course of the summer, and we actually, my wife, my daughter, and I, we lived with him at his place where he's got his studio, and so it was a magical time in my life, in our lives, where it was just, we had our routine, and, you know, we were getting up early and either going for a run or going to the gym in the mornings with Mark as well, who's living with us there too. And it was such a wonderful, wonderful time. And all the while, this album is going through it. Now, so these 9 tracks at the end of it, Fergus is adding a lot of keys and producing it, and we're going back and forth to get the final results once we'd moved to Ottawa. And he's in the Niagara region in St. Catharines. Essentially, we've got these 9 tracks, and every month or so, sometimes every 2 months, I'll put a new one out. And they're kind of, I'd be happy to hear what you think in terms of genre, because I feel each one of these songs, I tried to put like a nugget of influence in each one, and it tries to be a testament to the kinds of things that I like to listen to, mm-hmm. and how it comes out in the songs that I write. I don't know if I'm a rock artist or if I'm a alternative. I don't know what indie. I really don't know what to call
it. Just in those situations, I would just coin it singer-songwriter, and then that basically is the umbrella to anything you want it to be, right? You write songs. You don't write rock songs. You don't write pop songs. You're just a singer-songwriter. What comes out comes out, and I respect that. And yeah, this stuff is great. And what was the name of the studio you were at, Ferguson?
My friend, his name is Fergus, and Fergus, yeah. If I say "and" afterwards, it sounds like Ferguson, but no, Fergus.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
and
gotcha. Fergus and
yep.
myself.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
He's got a home studio and the work that he does, it's under the name Sound Chef.
Sound Chef. Cool.
Yeah. And he does great work, super, super detail oriented. It just blows me away.
I'll have to
watching him do his thing.
I'll have to get a link for that. I'll put it on the podcast page just so throw him some notice there.
Absolutely.
Anyway, does he actually take on artists? Like he'll records for people, like he's open for business type of deal?
Yeah, exactly.
How long has he been doing
recorded
it?
Me. I know he's Sorry. He's been doing it. Oh gosh. Yeah, no, he's I know he's been on the path. Because I like when it comes to the learning curve of you know any DAW, it's a long process before you get to the point where you're ready. And I don't know the first thing about it, but I know he's been doing it at least a decade.
I'll have to get his info. Yeah. I'll have to get his info for sure. I like that. Yeah. I like stuff like that. Cool, man. Yeah. So have you been playing? Have you been playing around town or?
You know, I've shown up for a few sort of open call things just to try to meet people because being from Niagara and knowing everyone there and feeling familiar and everything it's taken me all my life to get to know the area, and so being very new here, I wanted to try to hit the ground running and hopefully form a band as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a balancing act. I'm the only person doing any marketing or any preparation for release, and then I'm also the only person that would be booking shows or contacting band members or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it's an undertaking to find the time so when it comes to playing shows in the area, I would love to. I know the Redbird's a wonderful place. I'd love to put something together there. Mm-hmm. But again, being so new to the area, I'm just trying to. I would love to try to figure out who would be good on a bill. And
you should. Have you been to Live on Elgin?
Live on Elgin? No, I haven't yet. No.
I recommend you check that out from the sounds of your tunes and just getting to know you a little bit here. I think you'd enjoy that place. It's very, very welcoming open place, and they have like open mics too, and you could do a lot of good networking there where you can maybe even find your, because I know they, if you do the open mic, I believe, if I'm wrong, I hope I'm not wrong, I don't think I am though, but I think they have like showcase nights too where you can play a few nights and then you can move yourself into a showcase position where you're like it's still like a three song night or something, but you're kind of the feature. And great networking there where you can like meet other people and maybe you can put together shows or try and find an opening slot, that type of thing.
Right.
That's my recommendation. But yeah, Redbird or like Irene's. I don't know if you've been to Irene's. They have a lot of great shows, great environment there, which I highly promote. Also, Avant-Garde. Have you been to Avant-Garde? That's right down on Bezer Street in the Market. That's been there for a long time. The owner's name's Alex. He's a good friend of mine. Awesome environment, great bands, great artists come and go through there on the weekends. You could always do some really good networking. I can give you a list or something like that if you're super new to the
that'd be great.
Yeah.
I work with her name is Caitlin, and she's a songwriter as well. She was really, really active in the scene and stuff, and I'm going to be playing drums on some upcoming stuff. I hope I'm not saying too much, but she's pointed me in the right direction. I know she's mentioned Irene's and Redbird, and she's been really helpful because I don't know the first thing about it. I don't know where to look, where to go, and from everything that she's told me, that's a really welcoming, supportive scene too here. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Ottawa has an amazing music scene when you find it.
Right. That's it.
And once you do, yeah, you're definitely, there's a ton of talented and awesome people in this city. And the music scene itself, like I say, once you do find it, it's amazing like how rich it is. I think you have to apply yourself. Like, it won't come to you. You know what I mean? You got to go out and find your scene and follow it and find the bands you like and support. And you can't expect to, I've learned this some, well, everyone learns this from experience, that sometimes you can't expect to get anything back if you don't put anything into it. Like, you can't go see shows, support the people, and they'll come, they'll return the favor. You know what I mean? It's the way it goes. Yep. I know it's harder. Like, the older I get, the less I want to do anything. I'll just, the podcast is my way sometimes of giving back when I don't go out and see shows, when I'd rather be at home sitting on my couch watching TV on a cold winter's night. But I know it's also hard with like a family and kids and stuff like that too, but try your best. If you get a chance, get out and support, and just, you know, everyone's pretty cool. Say, hey, I'm this guy from something and I have a band, and you're looking for an opener, and you never know. I guess.
Right on.
That's how it works, I suppose. Just network, 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 and support. That's all. It's all I can say. It's all I can do. There's no magic. There's no magic key that one can pass on. Except just just advice, I suppose. Just advice and experience, my friend. But yeah, that's it. I've been playing in the Ottawa music scene for 20... I got here in 98, so 25 years.
And it's, you were saying you're from Thunder Bay.
Thunder Bay, that, yeah, right? Yeah. And it's been nothing but gracious to me. I owe it everything. So, yeah, man, for sure,
right on.
For sure.
Right on.
Yeah, I guess. Do you have any like links of where we can listen to your stuff? I know I found it on Spotify, but do you have like Facebook or Instagram or anything like that you wanted to share? Or you can even send it to me and I can link it to the thing.
Absolutely, I sure do. I can send that over to you.
Yeah.
I just launched my YouTube page there. I put a new video up of a song. Most of what I write is in English, of course, but I've got one song in French and one song in Spanish. So I just released the one in Spanish. It was shot in my home in Gatineau there. And so I can send that over to you too. And I'm very active on Instagram, on Facebook as well. So that would be a good way to stay in touch with anybody. And I can absolutely send those over to you too. And of course my Spotify, Apple Music, all that, I can send the link tree over to. It's got everything in there. And, yeah, man.
Cool.
And so the song in French I just mentioned, that's actually the next one to come out. So that's going to be, let's see here. I should, I'm really bad. I should probably memorize this stuff. Actually, it comes out 3 weeks today. So the 28th of April, it'll be dropping. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to put as much behind it as I can.
What's it called?
It's called Olia. And it bounces and swings. It's got, I really love Django Reinhardt, jazz, gypsy jazz babusha. Also I remember I learned this one tune for like a festival a few years back, maybe 2016. Mm-hmm. And it was like a French 80s pop tune, and that influenced the beginning of the song. And so it's, I don't know, it's unlike anything I've ever tried to write before, and it just sort of fell out of the guitar, fell out of my mouth. And so yeah, I'm looking forward to that coming out. So that's
cool.
That's at the end of the month.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. And I'll get, like I said, I'll put some links up so everyone can actually check it out and listen to it. Probably gonna wrap it up though. I try to keep the podcast condensed down to under an hour. So we've been talking for about half an hour. So is there any last things you want to talk about, or anything you wanted to say, thinking coming into the podcast?
Well,
any shout outs?
Shout-outs. Shout out to you, Ego and Vice Podcast, man.
All right.
I mean, if everyone's already listening, but
all right.
It's awesome what you're doing, man. It's really awesome what you're doing. It's very special. I feel like, as a newcomer to the scene, to have the opportunity to speak to you and to be, to have an episode where I'm speaking with you. It's really, really cool, and you're shining a light on something very, very important that can be really easily underrepresented or skimmed over, and it's important for people to be able to have a place to discover. And and so thanks, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate that. And that's what it's for. I always said this is this Ottawa or this podcast is more for the people, like the artists in Ottawa, than it is for me. Sure, I have fun doing it, but it's your spotlight, right? And you know, I enjoy it, so I'm glad I could give. Like I said, it's my way of giving back. So there you go. I appreciate it. Those are nice words.
For you.
What's that?
One last question for you. Where'd you get the name? It's a really cool name, and I just wanted to know that.
Ego and Vice. I was in a band called Our Mistake. In the aughts, I guess, like in 2003 to 2008, I believe. And we had a song called Ego and Vice. I wrote a song, and I heard an interview with Weezer, Rivers Cuomo.
Yep.
And they said, how can you balance life on the road and life at home and success and failure and all that stuff? And he said, a little bit of ego and a little bit of vice. And I was just like, oh, I'm totally fucking ripping that off. I wrote a song called Ego and Vice, and then when I started the podcast, I figured it was really fitting for the content. And there's a podcast out of Chicago from a guy named Ryan Young. He's in a band called Off With Their Heads, and his podcast is called Anxious and Angry. And I kind of ripped off his format too 6 years ago. Well, it's different now, but if you listen to the very, very first ones, it was identical to the format of Anxious and Angry. But we all lean on some things, right? We all take a little from some piles. But it's become its own thing, right. So I appreciate the question. I do. But in that being said, I'm going to shut her down. Thank you so much for your time, and good luck out there.
Thank you.
Send me those links. And Nick Cooper, I wish you nothing but the best, man.
Thanks, Mike. You too. Take care.
Left it to chance, I never should have let this get so far to hand. But I'll do anything to not be alone, cause when I'm alone, you know I can easily fall back into old habits that I thought I'd left behind. They ripped me apart and I realize I don't feel love, I have to lie. Take everything and keep it inside. I know I'm sick and I'm not right. I'm so fucking tired of living this life I made for myself. I'm sorry that I cannot away from the line. Hope this explains my problem to you, cause I feel like this every night. Don't wanna be like this, anxious and angry or hopeless and sad all the time. Unable to get back the feeling I lost somewhere along the line. I wear it all on my sleeve and everyone sees, no matter how hard I try. I never felt worse in my whole life. I have to lie, take everything and keep it inside. I know I'm sick and I'm not right. I'm so fucking tired of living this life I made for myself. I'm sorry that I cannot get past what keeps me away from the line. Hope this explains my problem to you, cause I feel like this every night. Feel like this every night. Feel like this every night.
Yeah, so that's it. That's the end of episode 99. And you guys know what comes next is episode 100. Wow. How about that? I finally got there. Into the tri-die. The triple digits. I had some ideas for the episode. Maybe it'll be a big deal. Maybe it won't. I don't know. I plan on doing this for a long time, so
I guess so. I guess we can celebrate a milestone, eh? I think 100 is a milestone. Anyway, until then, though, we'll see. If you want to get a hold of me, you can always contact me at egoandvice@gmail.com. Again, if you want to listen to the podcast, you can go to Spotify, iTunes, all those fun places where you listen to your favorite podcasts. Just search Ego and Vice. I'm the only one. Trademark. Bong. Yep. So I'd like to thank Nick Cooper for giving us a minute of his time. It was fun. Thanks, bud. And that's it for 99. We'll see you next time for episode 100. Whoa, what's it going to be? I don't know. Bye.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.